Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend message with you from Pastor Joel Schmidgall, our executive pastor at NCC. If you'd like to subscribe, find us on iTunes or go to theaterchurch.com.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, it was the young pastor's daughter that noticed her father. Every time before he would get up to preach, he would bow his head. And so she asked him, "Why do you do that?" And so he said, "Well, I'm glad you," and he was kind of proud that she actually noticed. She was paying attention to his messages. And she said, "I'm glad you asked." And he said, "What I'm doing is I'm asking that God would just make this a great sermon for the people of God." And she said, "Oh, that's really neat, Dad. Why doesn't God ever answer that request?" I feel like maybe I need to pray a little longer for my sermons, you know. God help me, kind of puts me on the defensive a little bit. But I want to ask a simple question today, and that's this. What is the content of your prayers? Or put it this way, what's the most common prayer that you pray? Maybe you're like me, where for a long time when I was exploring faith, I didn't actually have a prayer life. I didn't really pray that often. And after a couple years, I decided I probably need to start doing that. And so I got up one morning early and I prayed for like 10 straight minutes. And it was hard, but it felt good afterwards. And then the next morning I got up early and I prayed for about 3 straight minutes. And then the next morning I got up and prayed for 1 minute. And I felt like I had prayed for everything in the entire world. I had nothing left to say. Anybody ever felt that? Like, okay, I prayed it all. I'm like, what do I do now? Go back through the list again? Or like, and I didn't, my prayer muscles had not grown at all yet. And one of the disciples comes along in the scriptures, and I think he feels kind of the same way that I felt. Because he comes to Jesus and he asks this question. He says, "Teacher," or "Rabbi, teach us how to pray." And that's when this statement comes out: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then he says the line that we're going to dissect today: "Give us this day our daily bread." What is the content of your prayers? We shift gears today. And for the past 3 weeks, we've looked at the first 3 petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and we see them all in line. They're all speaking to God the Father. We prayed, "Hallowed be thy name." We prayed, "Thy kingdom come." And we prayed, "Thy will be done." But now we shift gears to kind of a second level of prayer. We've gone from God the Father, and now we shift over to praying over ourselves and over those around us. So the first 3 stanzas can be broken down into 1 key preposition: thy, right? Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. The second 3 stanzas of this can be broken down into 1 key preposition: us, give us, forgive us, lead us. And I don't think this is haphazard. I don't think this is by accident that the order, I think this is divinely ordered, that Jesus knew exactly what he was saying in the right order in which it needed to be said, because he starts with "Our Father." It's a relationship building statement, isn't it? You're stepping into a relationship with God, and then you're saying, "Hallowed be thy name." You're calling out who God is. He is the great, Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. And then out of that flows this opportunity to share our needs, to share what we need before the Father. If you're like me, you tend to pray things that are your interests, right? Like, what's your most common prayer? What's the content of your prayers? If you're like me, I often naturally lean back into things that I want. That's what I want to pray for, what I want. Well, okay, I'm going to pray. All right, what do I need right now? And it's almost like I put together a grocery list, right? You get your little paper, all right, what do I need? Okay, God, I need this from you, and I need that. And it's like we put together our list of demands, but listen, imagine this. Imagine, because this is not, we're not talking about a religion, right? You know, y'all, we're not trying to build a religion here. Did you know that? We're working on what? A relationship, not a religion. Okay, if you put it in that terms, let's take our prayer life and transfer it into another relationship in our life. So say I came to Nina. I said, Nina. And every time I talked to her, I told her what I want. Or I gave Nina a list of demands every time I talked to her. Could you imagine how that went? I'd be doing a lot of couch sleeping. And then I think the couch would end up out on the porch, and it would not go well if that's what I did. Like, just transfer your prayer over to one of your relationships with that other in your life. And it would look something like this, like, okay, your love is real to me if you make me dinner, right? Because we kind of do that with God sometimes, right? Like, okay, well, God, if you're real, then give me that job. Don't we do that? Oh, you didn't give me the job. Well, he's not real. You know, like, your love is real to me, Nina, if you make me dinner. Oh, you're not going to make me dinner? Okay, well, your love is not real then. You know, we get all ticky-tack. But transfer this to relate. Now do this. Take the Lord's Prayer and how he taught us to pray and transfer that over to your relationship or over to a relationship with another. It would look something more like this. Hey, Nina, you are an amazing wife. As mom in this house, I hope you get respect today. And I'm here to work alongside you to make sure our family mission gets accomplished. By the way, you think you could make us some dinner tonight? Learned a little bit, right? Now we're talking. That's a relationship. Jesus teaches us how to enter into relationship with Almighty God. But he cares about your needs. In your significant relationships, you know those people care about your needs, and you know you care about their needs. But it's a relationship with the other person. We can't allow ourselves to speed through prayer like it's a shopping list of demands for God. The scripture teaches us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. If you properly care for your spouse, wonderful things will come your way. If you properly respect and honor God, all his benefits will come in the backstroke. It's a beautiful thing. During this 40 days of prayer, I pray that you don't forget those first three stanzas of the Lord's Prayer. We've got to pray to his glory, to his honor. We've got to live out his will in our lives. And when we do, he pours blessing out on us. Give us this day our daily bread. Listen, I love this prayer. You know why? Because it's talking about food, right? I love food. Early in our marriage, we read the five love languages together. Anybody read Five Love? Yeah, it's a great book. And Nina read it. She astutely made this observation to me. She said, I think my love language, I think it's words of affirmation and acts of service. She said, how about you? I said, oh, I think I know exactly what mine is. It's food. I said, what are you talking about? It's not a love language. Well, it just depends on what dialect you speak. And I happen to speak New York Strip. That's what speaks to me. That's my love life. That's all you're like, I get a steak and I'm good. Everything else is fine. And that's all I need. And I remember going a couple years ago, I went out with a buddy and we went to a kind of a nice restaurant. And we sat down and he did one of these. He said, hey, bring us some of that bread, that good bread. Bring it. And so they brought the bread and it was this amazing, it was like a honey focaccia bread that was like, you know, kind of crispy, but it bounced, you know, when you, and it was, oh, it was so good. And we just crushed that thing. It was, I mean, it was, and we put it away. And I remember he made this statement after that, and it just kind of oddly stuck with me because it's just kind of an offhanded statement. He said, "You always know how good of a restaurant it is based on how good their bread is." And for some, so whenever I go to a restaurant, they bring the bread out, and you're wondering, okay, is this what is to come? And I love that statement. You know, well, how many of us are hungry for lunch now? Did I just do that to us? But I love that statement because I think God the Father comes, and he says, or Jesus comes, and says, go ahead, ask the Father. Go ahead, ask him for some of that bread, right? Get some of that bread. Because that bread is just a taste tester of what is to come. Amen. You're going to taste that bread and you're going to know that you are in the right place. I want to come back to that bread. But let's break down each part of this. I just want to exegete and kind of analyze each word of this prayer today. And so it starts with the word give. It's the Greek word didymi. And it means to give or to grant. Pastor Mark said this. He said, God is more offended by the prayers that you don't pray than by the prayers that you do pray. And don't we do that? We make decisions for God. I think he can or can't do this, or I think he will or he won't do this. And so I put him in his place, and then I'll act according to how I have evaluated God and what he will do. But Jesus says, he says, come to me and ask in Matthew chapter 7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's God's desire to provide. Do you know that? He is a father who loves to give good gifts to his children. And this week for us, it's been kind of a challenging week. We're kind of going through something right now. And our best friends, our family's best friends are moving across the country. And it's a bit of uprooting in us. It's kind of been a little bit painful. And all five of us, from the parents to the kids, it's like our whole five is their whole five's best friends. And so it's something that's really unique for us. And I told Pastor Mike, I said, man, I don't know that we'll ever lose something to this significance in relationship for our family. For the rest of my life, I don't think we'll have this again, and for it to be lost. And so it's been really, if I'm honest with you, it's really difficult. We're having a hard time. We're kind of struggling with this. And down the line, we're hurting a little bit. And so when we go to God in prayer, we're talking this through. We have relational needs in our life, and what's happening right now is this is being uprooted, and we feel like this provision is being taken away, God, and we don't know what to do this. And so here's what we're trying to do. Listen to how we're trying to process. We have to ask the question before God, what do I know is true of God? We got to come back to that question. Because when your mind starts playing tricks on you, or maybe not even tricks, when you're dealing with the reality that is in your life, sometimes you got to begin to declare the word of God. What does the word of God say? Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." The New Living says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." He provides all of our needs, not just a piece of bread. What is the bread? We'll get into that. He provides for all our needs. So our family is going through an emotional roller coaster this weekend. I'm telling you something. It's all over the place. But we're trying to ask this question. What do I know to be true of God? My God has been faithful. My God has been consistent. My God is good. He has never failed me. He is always there for me. He is always with me. My God never leaves nor forsakes me. His word calls it sufficient grace. I love that phrase. Sufficient, not too much, not too little, just what you need, just enough. Just enough to get you through this day. Where are you short today in your life? Where are you short today? Where do you need to come to God and ask the Father for his daily bread? He's a Father who desires to give good gifts, and he wants to give those to you today. I got an email from one of our volunteers, and just talking about God's provision. I asked them if I could read it, and said yes, and here's what they said. Hello, Pastor Joel. I've been praying for more than a year for a home in a new school district for the opportunities for my child that are needed for their learning. I've been searching tirelessly this spring in an effort to make the move before the new school year, contemplating compromise when I knew what I wanted and needed. I prayed this prayer one Sunday in June as I talked myself out of coming to the altar. You then said that you had prayed that there would be gifts at the altar for those who had faith enough to step out. I knew this final call was for me. I came down. I knew that I had to give it all to God and trust that he would provide. I immediately began searching for our home with anticipation. The Wednesday after the altar call, I found it, made an offer. Shortly after, my offer was accepted, even though it was below asking price. That's a DC miracle right there. My gift was at the altar. How could I doubt a God who had never failed me? We moved in the last week, and my child was able to start at the new school. Thank God for his provision. God is faithful. Now, here's a checkpoint in this point. Are we praying for thy will or for my will? I'm just going to digress for a moment off notes. Oftentimes, we think we're praying for thy will. But remember what the scripture said in Matthew chapter 7? That we by nature are evil. And we underestimate how much we have allowed culture into us. And even if it's a good thing that you're praying for, is it my will or thy will? Just because something can be perceived as good doesn't mean it's the will of God for your life. Checkpoint. As you allow the conviction of the Spirit, is it thy will or my will? So give first. And then it says, give us. It doesn't say, give me my daily bread, does it? I want it for me. No, it says, give us our daily bread. This word is us is a reflection of the collective, not just you. There has to be a collectiveness to what is given to us. The more Jesus shared the loaves and fishes, the more the loaves and fishes were multiplied. The more he gave, the more God gave. Do you know that's a principle that is talked about in Scripture? It says, give and it shall be given unto you. I'm in a digressing mood today. I'm sorry. One of my dreams as a church is that we just start to finish each other's statements when we talk Scripture. I just pray that. And sometimes I try to say the same Scriptures. Sometimes I just stop too to give you a little prompt. Go ahead and take it from here. Give and it shall be given unto you, because there's power in declaring the word of God, not just in hearing, but declaring it through your own mouth. Given it shall be given unto you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, overflowing into your life. I decided to go quick there because I didn't want you to feel pressure. That's a hard one. Overflowing into your lap. What does that mean? When I give, God always outgives me. Jesus gave the loaves and the fish, and what came back? More than he had actually released. Woo, when we give, God pours back into our lives. My voice is still coming back. That sounded like the 16-year-old Joel right there. Pours back down in our lives. God always outgives us. You can never outgive God. He often gives us more than is needed for us so that we go ahead and give to the people around us. You know, I do this little thing with my kids. Where I'll give one kid 3 cookies and the other 2 kids no cookies. What am I trying to do? Come on, get underneath the surface with me. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to show favoritism. That's right. Whoever my favorite kid. Right. Come on, no, come on, parents. Where are you at? You know you got a favorite. There's no kids in here, right? They're all out. They're all out. Uh-oh. No, I'm just playing. I'm kidding. Yeah, I know. Well, you are the favorite. What are you talking about? I give them three, because what? I want him, or want them. Actually, that's not true. So you don't know, no, I'm just kidding. It might be. All right, I don't know how to get out of this. I love all my kids. This is being taped. I'll give through, because I want them to learn how to share, that when they get a good gift, it's not just for them. And then they have to disperse it and all hang around. And that's how we learn to share. We're given more and then we've got to share. Now, it doesn't always work, does it? Right. You might say, man, you are a great parent. No, because sometimes it ends up with a kid just had three kids and the other kids are crying because they didn't get any cookies, right? Here's the thing though, God, as he looks at us, sometimes I think he has the same moment. Where he gave somebody abundantly and then he turns back around and that person took all the abundance for themselves and the other people around them are crying out to God that they got nothing. Right. Yeah. Hey, we can agree with that point today, but listen, who's got a couple extra cookies in their pocket? Good. Who's got a couple cookies in your pocket and God didn't give you those cookies for you? Somebody else around you is waiting for the blessing that God decided to flow through you so graciously. That's not all just for you. He gives us, the collective us, give us this day or today. It can be this day or today. Give us today or give us this day. It's translated as this coming day or time or occasion. It's this, the Greek word is hemera. It's the same word that is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 and 2, where it says, today is the day of salvation. And that's a whole part of this thing. That the bread of God is salvation to us. That this is the gift of salvation, that wherever you're at, whatever you need, whatever provision you have, God has good gifts for you. And the first and foremost gift is salvation. We called that out last week. And you know what he says about salvation? Today is the day. No, it's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not sometime in the future. If the Lord has stirred faith in your soul and your being, don't wait for a future date. By faith, through grace, step out in faith. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. He invites you to come in to his grace, to enter into relationship with him. I believe we have lost the art of waiting in the church. We don't know how to wait on God anymore. And we have this text message relationship with Jesus, right? Or a quick phone call. But I know this, you're not gonna get any wisdom from your grandma over text. Am I right? Have you ever texted with your grandma? Have you ever, anybody taught their mom or grandma how to text? Come on, let me see those hands. Right? It's the most frustrating experience of your life. I think we got a grandma interaction up here behind me. Like that you try to teach something and it somehow it just does not get through. There's no wisdom that comes through texting with your grandma or through a quick phone call. Starting to set in, isn't it? Every one of us is having one of those, right? If you go to your grandma's house, you get a tall glass of iced tea, you sit on the rocking chair out on the porch with nothing to do, you're going to get some wisdom there. I guarantee you will suck in some wisdom from your grandma if you go do that. But listen, God doesn't want a text message relationship with us. We come to God in prayer and we say, here's what I need. Okay, that's it. Okay, no, that's not going to work. I need this. Or we have a quick phone call. Okay, God, here's what I need. Amen. Bam. And that's how we converse with God. That's not a relationship. No, I'm not even going to say it. I had a thought. That's going to just take to go just get our need fulfilled. You know where I'm going with that. He invites us into true relationship with him, to enter into conversation. And there's something that happens when you sit with the Father. There's something that happens when you get on your knees and you don't leave that. We have lost the art of waiting. We get on our knees and we don't get up until we grab a hold of the garment of praise that God has given. Until we grab a hold of the revelation, there's this old word called tarry that I love to come back to every once in a while. How do we wait on the Lord? How do we tarry in the Lord's presence where God has a gift for us? We come and send a text message and it doesn't come through. Sometimes you got to get in the altar. Sometimes you got to get in your prayer closet. Sometimes you got to get down on your knees, and you're not going to get up until you get that revelation. You're not going to get up until you get that bread. You're not going to get up until you get that blessing from the Lord that he wants to give you. Jacob in the Old Testament, he wrestled with God how long? All night long. And he wouldn't let go of the presence of God until the blessing poured over his life. We need to learn and remember how to wait on God. He's got a blessing that he wants to pour over us. And today is that day. Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, the scripture says. God takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds in the air. Do not worry, for I will take care of you. I used to think the opposite of faith was doubt. I don't think that's true anymore. I think because my doubt has actually assisted my faith. Every time I dig into doubt, it forces me to dig more into the scriptures, and it actually deepens my faith. Doubt has assisted my faith. Isn't that interesting? I don't think that's the opposite of faith. I think the opposite of faith is worry. Because it's active unbelief in God. Tim Keller, see if I can get back on here. He says, worrying is believing God will not get it right. More people die of worry than die of work. We let worry get a hold of us. But no, the Lord says, step into faith. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily, it's the word epicium. It means sufficient for today. God doesn't say, give us this week our weekly bread. Give us this month, give us this year our yearly bread. That's what we want, right? Just go ahead and pour it out. I'll take care of it, God. I got it. Just pour your blessing out and I'll do a good thing with it. No, he says, give us this day our daily bread. I wonder if it's because he's trying to keep us in relationship, you know? He tries to keep us coming back constantly. He'll always provide, but we've got to keep coming back to cultivate that relationship. Jesus says, pray for our daily bread, not our daily dessert. I like cake. Right? He doesn't say, come and pray for cake. No, he does. That cake has sugar. Sugar actually does worse to your body. It's not a complex carbohydrate, right? No, it just feeds those bad things in our system. I need to be careful here. I don't want to preach against cake because we all love cake. I might lose you on this point. I don't know. But our tendency is to translate God meeting our needs for God meeting our greeds. And we come to God and we're like, God, I want this. It's back to that thy will or my will. I want this, God, and God give it to us. And what happens? Come on. I prayed for that and you didn't give it to me. Come on. And it's hey, my kids get angry too when I don't give them dessert every night. They throw a fit. And we throw these tantrums before God because we don't get what we want. We don't get our greed. But why would God give us our greed? Because that's the exact thing that is killing us. Us asking, it's as sugar feeds cancer, so greed feeds the enemy's work in our lives. God's not going to pour things into us that actually break our faith down. Talked to an NCCer who is in the middle of struggle. And I just asked them to share a little bit of their struggle right now that they're going through. And she said this. She said, I've been going through the struggle. I hit low point when I lost my job with no new jobs coming through. And I lost my place, and I had no place to live. My family lives on the island and went through the hurricane, so I can't live there. I shouldn't have to depend on anyone else, but I now have a spirit of brokenness. My prayers are tears. Daily bread is not enough to just sustain you for the day. I'm sorry, daily bread is enough to just sustain you for the day. I've learned to pray for small things, not just big things. Daily bread has been a peace in God, a calmness that He is with me as I work towards a future. He's the one that has been carrying me because I feel spent. What's operating in me isn't me. It's His Spirit digging for that hope and faith. Anger would say, I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to believe. But God says, put that flesh away, small thinking, that anger away. I'm still cultivating something in you. Now I'm still fighting against fear, but I'm learning to count my blessings and trust in God. Give us this day our daily bread. John 6, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. It's a reference back to Exodus chapter 16 in the Old Testament where Moses had led the Israelites out into the desert and they are starving. They have no food. They have no daily bread. And so God provides what's called manna. And manna, it's like a honey wafer almost that is provided every day, and they're supposed to take enough for the day. And except for on Friday, they can take 2 days that goes over the Sabbath. And if they take more, if they collect more than that, then it starts to go bad and maggots start to eat it up. And so they're just supposed to take this portion, but it's this season where God shows up miraculously to give their daily bread. It's a testimony that God has provided. I believe there is that God gives us physical provision. That's part of what this is. That's what we've been talking about. But I also think there's a dualistic meaning that He also gives us spiritual provision. The rest of John chapter 6, that next part of the passage says, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. In other words, Christ is addressing something bigger than a belly pain. He's addressing hunger pain. And He's saying, I am the bread of life. The bread is me. I am your sustenance. For whatever need you have, any need you have in the world, I am your sustenance. Come to me. N.T. Wright says, when we're praying this portion of the Lord's Prayer, we're asking for our desires to be satisfied. God is the deepest desire of our soul. Some of us in this room have never struggled with basic provision. We can get our next meal. We got a place to stay. We got a roof over our head. We're doing okay. So how do we take this scripture and apply it to our lives? You can have bread on your plate, but not nourishment in your soul. And you can be successful in life, but it doesn't mean that you're fulfilled. Those of us here who are wildly successful can still be motivated by fear, a fear of losing it, or a fear, an insecurity, if you will, a fear that drives us to do those things. And everyone can identify with a hunger of the soul. I just want to know it's going to be okay. I just want to have confidence that I'm going to be all right, that what I do matters, that what I do actually has some form of significance to it. We all have that drive to validate self, that I want to matter in life, but God is not interested in your success. He's interested in your fulfillment. And those two things are not mutually submissive to one another. And I'm talking about success and as in the world's metrics. Success and fulfillment are not one and the same. My wife was coaching one of the kids on Thursday, just coaching in life, because they were having kind of a hard time with some others at school because these other kids just have more stuff and they got the new technology and got the new accoutrements and have all those things. And so Nina was kind of coaching them through this. Listen, there is a richness of wealth that is there for some people. And And then a side perspective is if you have a meal and you have a roof over your head, you are actually one of the richest people in the world. I could count your blessings. But secondly, okay, in this country, there are a lot of people who have more stuff than us. And there's a richness of wealth, but let me tell you something else. There's a richness of the soul that is so unique. And we have been given this hope, and we have been given the goodness of God and the graciousness of God. And you can get stuff. If you want to get stuff, you can work and you can compile stuff. There's people in this room that can help you get stuff and a richness of wealth. But people spend the entirety of their lives looking for a richness of the soul. And we've been given that. Let's remain focused and aware on those things that God has so beautifully given. The bread of life that has been given to us. Let me just talk to our students for just a minute. Students who are here today, there's that thing inside you that says, you know, if I just got that thing, then that would put me in position. If I just got that place or that position, or if I just got that part, or if I just made that team, or if this thing just happened to me, or if that person acknowledged me, if I dated that person over there, and if I just got that thing, then everything would be better, right? If you're a student, if you're in middle school, if you're in high school, you've got that feeling inside of you, because then I would just have arrived at that point. I want to tell you something here today. I want you to listen to me here today. There are people in this room that are 5, that are 10, that are 20 years older than, that are 30 years older than you, and they struggled with what you're struggling at your age, and they still struggle with that same thing today. It doesn't leave you. That feeling of needing validation, and they're just saying, okay, if I just got that promotion, or if I could just buy that house, or if I could just upgrade to that car, if I just had that position. And listen, that thing inside you that lives in there that feels so overwhelming when you're a kid, that goes with you unless you learn what the bread of life is. As long as you look for success in the world standard, you'll always be chasing after it and you'll never find validation. But when you come before God, God can give you a peace that you can't find anywhere else. I'm here to testify to that. We have some recovering validation addicts who are here today who have come to the foot of the cross, who have come to the foot of Christ. And say, God, I'm going to put my stuff down. I'm going to find validation in you. And today is the day of salvation that I will step into you that will never go away no matter what you do unless you come to Christ. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Only God can satisfy our deepest desires. Look at the preceding verse to the Lord's Prayer. It says this in Matthew 6. And when you pray, do not babble like pagans, for they that have many words, they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ever ask him. We pray double negatives. God, give me that promotion so I'll have satisfaction. Oh, no, which one do you want? You want the promotion or you want the satisfaction? Now, it's not to say they can't work together, but I'm saying oftentimes they are mutually exclusive from one another. No, to think that you will find satisfaction in the promotion is to think that your hunger will be satisfied in the early wedding hors d'oeuvres. You know what I'm talking about? Pre-wedding, you get the hors d'oeuvre, the little hot dog thingy and a little crab, and you eat them. You're like, man, I'm so hungry. I'm going to eat. And then you just, by the time you eat those, you're actually more hungry after you ate the hors d'oeuvres than before. You got to run out and get something to eat. To look at the promotion as the satisfaction that will fill us up. No, it actually makes you more hungry. Whatever that thing is that you want will actually just magnify the need that is underneath the surface. The promotion magnifies your hunger. Christ satisfies your hunger. I'm out of time. After the Korean War, all these little orphans were left, and they went to these orphanages, and they had so much trouble helping these kids find a level of peace because they didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. Even though they gave them 3 meals a day, snacks and everything, these kids were scared every night that they wouldn't have something to eat the next day. And so they couldn't figure this out until they did one thing. When they would go to bed, they would take a piece of bread and they would put it in their hands and let them sleep with it. They knew then that they would have some, they were retraining their mind to know that their daily bread could be counted on. I think for many of us, we're in constant worry and active unbelief that God will provide for our daily needs. And what is that daily need that you have today? God can provide. Bring that need to Him. Let's ask. Let's expect of Him. Let's step into His presence. Today is the day of salvation. That day is here today. And so I want to invite the worship team to come. And we're just going to close with a song today. And the song is called Desert Song. The idea is that when you're out in the desert and you don't know where you're going to get your needs met, that you come to Christ and He meets your needs. And so why don't you go ahead and stand with me, and we're going to sing this song together. I want to invite our prayer teams to come forward. And I just want to open up the altar. I talked about that idea that, you know, maybe there's a blessing every weekend. I pray that God would pour His blessings down in this altar. And for those who have the courage enough to come down and take a step of faith, that God would pour a blessing over us. And so if that's you today, if you want to come down and just receive in the altar and pray and get on your knees, maybe there's some tearing, some waiting that needs to be done. But could we just reach out just for these last few moments that we have here today? Could we just reach out into the presence of God? So we come to You, God, thanking You for Your word that is active, that is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces us today. So God, I pray that You would help us to take proper examination of ourselves, and may we put faith into action and know that You are a God of provision, a God who meets every need. Lord, help us to dig deep into our soul and acknowledge those needs that are in us, and then say, holy is our God. Hallowed be Your name. Great is our Father. And bring our needs to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.